As we settle back to our seats, if there are any children here, we will not have children's moments, but we will have Sunday school. So you can go with Mrs. Nitz to the back of the church, and we'll have Sunday school. Oh, Mrs. Nitz is here to take you to Sunday school. We'll have Sunday school now, yeah. That's great. Okay, let us pray. Prepare our hearts, O God, to accept your word. Silence in us any voice but your own, that hearing we may also obey your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first scripture reading is from Acts 16, verses 9 through 15. Paul's love for God allowed him to hear God's voice when it spoke to him, and his obedience allowed the gospel to spread in a powerful way. Listen for the word of God. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day we went on to Neapolis. From there we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia. And we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. This is the word of the Lord. Our second scripture reading is Psalm 67. Let us pray this psalm responsively, listening for a word or phrase that especially speaks to us. In the moment of silence after the psalm, we may hold the words we heard in our hearts and allow them to inspire our own prayer to God. Let us pray with God's word. O God, be gracious to us and bless us and make your face shine on us, so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among the nations. Let the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. Nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. Let the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. As the land yields its harvest, may God, our own God, bless us. O God, give us your blessing,
so that all the ends of the earth
will stand in awe of you. The word of the Lord.
Our gospel lesson this morning comes from John's Gospel, the 14th chapter, verses 23 to 29. Listen for God's word for us today. Jesus says, "Those who love me will keep my word, And my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not hear my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but it is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you love me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does, you may believe. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A colleague of mine on, I almost stepped off the back there. That would have been for an interesting sermon right there, right? Woo! I was telling Liz that the most difficult part of being a guest preacher is not knowing the fine-tuned parts of worship, like how long the passing of the peace of Christ lasts. Maybe I should start including how deep the pulpit stand is. Woo! All right. Let's breathe for a moment. A colleague of mine on Friday shared that even though the weather hasn't looked like it, we're at the beginning of the unofficial start of summer. I've learned after living here for, 17, 18, 19 years now, that you really never know when summer's going to hit in Northeast Ohio. Could be May, could be September, might sometimes be February. You just kind of take it as it comes, right? But this Memorial Day weekend, we remember. We remember, we give thanks for those who have given their lives for the sake of our country. In addition to that, though, I'm sure many of us are thinking school is almost done, it's almost summertime, and if it's anything like my childhood, there are things to be done this summer, trips to have, places to go, things to do, gardens to work in, yards to clean up. Summer's almost here. Growing up in Southern California, we camped a lot. We had a camper on our back of our truck, and we would go all over the Sierras, all over the West. But every summer, we would head out to Virginia Creek, up in the Eastern Sierras, about 6,000 feet, incredible trout fishing, a great place to be. Your previous pastor, Matt, his dad, was actually my husband's youth pastor, and one day when my husband and I were backpacking, we actually ran into Paul Reeves on the trail. He, too, was out enjoying the Sierras. This was long before the era of the GPS. There was this thing, if you don't remember, called maps. They were folded, trifold, and then you opened them up about like this, and whoever was the passenger had to give directions. And so you would learn to fold the map so you could still see the road, but still look at your map. And you would hope upon hope that the map you had was somewhat current as you gave directions to the driver. Well, obviously, since we went to Virginia Creek every summer, we knew the route. My dad didn't need directions. My mom didn't need to pull out the map. We knew where we were going. But my dad had a phrase that at times would drive us kids crazy. He would find some skinny road, rutted out, rocky road, and say, "Huh, I wonder where this road will take us." And the next thing you know, off we went, when all we wanted to do as kids was get settled and play. My brothers wanted to dump me in the creek, having two older brothers. There were things to be done, and my dad just wanted to see where this road would take us. The adventures we had, well, they're priceless, to be quite honest. But that was my dad's practice. I wonder where this road will take us. When I read this passage from Acts that Liz read so wonderfully, that's all I could think of. Was that Paul and his buddies were thinking, I wonder where this road will take us, not knowing what was next, what's ahead of them, what that road would be like. Would it be nice and smooth with no problems ahead of them, or would it be rutted? Would they get stuck? Would they have to fix a flat tire? Not that they had flat tires. What would be ahead of them was unknown. And I can't help but think that may be what Christ Church is feeling right now. I wonder where this road will take you. It's an uncertain time, right? Matt has left. What's in the head of you is to be seen. And in good Presbyterian fashion, we have a system in place that never goes as fast as anyone wants, yet allows for the Spirit to work in guiding you as a congregation. I wholeheartedly believe that. The task that Paul and Timothy had before them was to build a church. And they did so over the course of time. Your job is to continue to be the church. I was struck in this passage of scripture that we're looking at today that there were three things that took place around Paul and Timothy's travels. They were grounded in prayer, they were supported by the community, and they went beyond the walls of what was comfortable. Liz and I were just chatting about how much neither of us like change. It could be something as simple as the route you take to the grocery store is under construction, because it is orange cone season, right? That's actually what this weekend is about, the beginning of orange cone season here in Northeast Ohio. It may be something as simple as you can't get to where you want to be in the pattern that you usually do. Obviously, it could be much more serious than that. Something changes in your family. Something changes in your own relationship. Life is full of twists and turns. That's just the reality of what's before us. In this text that we read, and in all the passages of scripture we explored this morning, there are literally two roles that I think we have to play. One of them is to be the folks that support those who go. And the other is to be the ones who go. Let me translate that for what I think might be true for you as a community. My hunch is there are some of you who are not comfortable standing in front of the congregation and saying, here's where we should go. But you know what you can do? You can pray. You can pray. And there are others of you that have ideas and thoughts and dreams and vision that God is speaking to, and it may just be that now is the time for you to speak up. Christ Church, I wonder where this road will take you. I wonder where this road will take you. When you hear the word mission, what comes to your mind? Think about that for a minute. When you hear the word mission, what comes to your mind? I'll tell you what comes to my mind. In my mind, it comes to sitting in the fellowship hall at East Whittier Presbyterian Church when the missionary that we supported came from some other country and shared slides with us. Can I tell you right now, as a kid, it was not all that exciting. We would sit on those metal chairs and hear stories and eat food that wasn't normal to us when all we wanted to do was be out in the playground playing. That's one of the visions that comes to my mind when I hear the word mission. Another one comes from the movie, The Mission. Have any of you seen The Mission, the movie? If you've not, yeah, if you've not seen it, pull it up. It's got to be on some streaming service. It's a story of Roman Catholic brothers who train the natives to look and act like them. And for some very good reasons, missionaries of that sort leave a kind of bad taste in our mouth. There's that understanding in this movie that plays out that somehow our understanding of what Christianity should be is the one that should be transposed to another culture. Well, to put it bluntly, I think that's rather arrogant and even absurd. Those are two images that come to mind when I think of mission. But mission is more than what we do in some other country or how we make others be like us. Mission is most certainly evangelism. Matthew and Mark remind us, Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you." Mission as evangelism is certainly a part of it. Sharing the good news with those in our community is what we are called to do. Mission also is compassion. Luke's gospel reminds us that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, says Jesus, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. It's to be an advocate as well, to be a missionary, to speak up for injustice that we see, to speak up for those who don't have a place in the system and who need a voice. I want to add another one. I also see mission as companionship. I see it as being together with others, having conversation that leads to the practicing of our faith. And I think that's what mission comes down to. Literally, the word, the mission of God, missio Dei, means it's God's mission, not ours, that we must be doing. It's not what we think is most important for a community. It's discerning what God is calling us to do and be in the community in which we've been placed. Mission is God-called, Christ-centered, Spirit-led. And more than anything, mission is not one more activity on the church calendar. It's not a way to get more people in the pews. It's not something that can be neatly contained in the work of a good old Presbyterian committee. No, mission is the very essence of who you and I are called to be. It's not as simple as doing good things. Mission is our very response to God's love. That same God who created us to be in relationship. God is calling each of us individually to reflect God's love in how we live each day. And God is calling you, Christ Church, to reflect God's love in how you worship, in how you live, in how you communicate yourselves to the community at large. You know, Paul wasn't even heading to Macedonia when he and Timothy took off. They got called there. They got called there, and what did they discover? People who wanted to hear the good news. And Lydia, who from here on out funds Paul's ministry. Just like Paul, you all may be heading down a road that you are certain is where God is calling you, when all of a sudden, the Spirit moves, and you're being called in a different direction. Paul went to a lot of places where he wasn't all that well received, but that did not stop him. Paul continued to be directed by the Holy Spirit to go hither and yon, wherever it was, even to Macedonia. And like Paul, we may find ourselves in places we did not expect, places that make us uncomfortable, places that challenge the status quo. And we are called to do the same, because we are called to live out God's mission, not what we think is best, but what God is calling us to do through this community. And that takes discernment. It means you must be grounded in prayer. Are you praying each day for the congregation that you're a part of, for the leadership that is seeking your next leader? Are you praying for whoever it may be that is coming next? I hope so. God's mission is supported by the community. It means you have to give of yourself to make it happen. And maybe most importantly, and maybe most challenging, is that I think God calls us beyond the walls of what is comfortable, what we know, what we already have experienced. Being a Christian, being a follower of Jesus Christ is no easy task. But if we truly commit ourselves to following in the one who went before us, then it means we'll head down whatever road God takes us. It means we'll head down that rutted, muddy road and get covered in filth and then discover that we got to go back the other way. It means that there will be times where it is smooth sailing. It's fresh asphalt. There'll be times when you are challenged as a community to listen for what God is calling you to do and be in this world. You know, when my dad would say, "I wonder where this road would take us," there were often a lot of refrains in the back, "Oh, Dad, can we not just go the way we know? Can we not just follow the road that's before us?" To say the least, we were rather cranky. But without those roads that my dad would take, the memories and experiences and eye-opening joy we found would not have been there. In the 6th century, Isaac of Nineveh said, "God cannot but give his love. God cannot but give his love." May the same be said of us. Can Christ Church not but give its love? Love others with abandon. Love others beyond what seems appropriate. Love others so that the good news of the gospel takes root in this community and in wherever it is your road takes you. Amen.